Changes to fuel emission standards are on the cards to boost the number of electric vehicles on our roads. The Federal Climate Change Minister, Chris Bowen, has argued it is needed in order for Australia not to become a dumping ground for so-called dirty cars.
We now have a chance to give Australians access to the world's best transport technology. There is, of course, a strong case for action. Passenger cars make up almost 10% of Australia's CO2 emissions. So serious action on climate change does involve serious action on transport emissions. And as we all know, we're experiencing significant cost of living challenges. And giving Australians better options, more access to cars which will never oblige them to lift a nozzle at a petrol station ever again is very good policy as well.
That's the Climate Change Minister, Chris Bowen, speaking at the summit in Canberra today. Let's bring in the Motor Trades Association of WA Chief Executive, Stephen Moyer, who joins me live on 6PR this afternoon. G'day, Steve.
Hi, Ollie. How are you going?
I'm good. First and foremost, is Australia a dumping ground for so-called dirty cars? And by dirty cars, I'm assuming that's petrol and diesel motor vehicles these days, Steve?
No, there is not one motor vehicle manufacturer in the world who produces cars purely for Australia. So it's wrong to say that we are or could become a dumping ground for that. Now, I think what the minister probably missed is we've got some of the dirtiest fuel in the world, and that needs cleaning up. And, you know, we've been calling that for some time, but that's a very expensive proposition. But we need our refiners to do better to cut the sulphur content of our fuel. The part of the minister's announcement today that makes me a little nervous is he's suggesting that by pushing people into electric cars, life's going to be a lot cheaper. Now, we have 30 electric cars available in the market in Australia. That compares to over 230 in the UK, and 89% of those sit above 50,000. So you're going to have to make a big investment to save a little bit of money.
You do. Obviously, the argument will be supply and demand. If we were to set that specific target, Steve, we'd be importing more and more electric vehicles, and hopefully the price would come down.
And there is the problem. Now, and I should say, we are really supportive of electric cars. We want to sell electric cars. There's no doubt about that. However, we are 1% or 1.5% of the world's market on car manufacturing. We sell about 1 million cars a year. Mm-hmm. The targets, and the Albanese government have cited research that suggests that we could be at 89% new car sales by 2030, just doesn't match up. Norway have got a 10-year start on us. They've had 10 years of heavy incentives to get people into them, and they're just hitting at 86, but they're the best country in the world. Europe, on average, has about 19%. So 89%, it's not going to happen unless there is some incredible change in world market dynamics.
So of those 1 million cars sold in Australia a year, what's the slice of the EV market in Australia at the moment? Pretty small.
It's about 2%. But here's the big problem, Ollie. You know, 59% of cars sold in Australia are large SUVs or dual cab utes. The top three selling cars in Australia right now are dual cab utes. And there is not an option on the market that is going to meet that need. The other thing we've got to consider is being a big country. See, in Europe, you can get away with electric cars, heavily urbanized areas, short distances to travel. Electric cars are perfect for that. But if you want to tow the caravan, you're going to be wanting left short, because you're going to need that car that's capable of towing 3.5-4 ton. And they are not available in electric, and there isn't a sign that they will be available anytime soon.
All right. So the current projections of, you know, 2030, 2035, we're just so far behind the eight ball that it wouldn't even be possible if we were to commit today to those sort of timeframes to meet those targets.
Because the market can't supply the cars. It's as simple as that. And so we have been saying to the federal government and the previous federal government, put in some carbon targets for manufacturers that give them incentive to bring cars into Australia. And that's what they've done in Europe, and that's why they're so successful. Without those carbon targets, there is no incentive at all. The bigger issue for us is, Ollie, the majority of our cars are made in Asia. And Asia have a very heavy focus on hybrid and plug-in hybrid, and actually hybrid and plug-in hybrid are really the perfect solution for Australia. If I take a plug-in hybrid today, for instance, that can do 80 kilometres on its battery, you can go to and from work on battery power, never touching your petrol, without any trouble at all. That's the technology. And that's why we're talking about low emission vehicles as opposed to purely talking about electric vehicles. We've got to look at a bit of a broader solution to getting our emissions down.
Okay. When you talk about the plug-in hybrid or hybrid motor vehicles, are we talking about some of those, you know, RAV4s that are on the market at the moment, the Corollas, which have got about an 18-month to 3-year wait at the moment if you want to purchase one of those new motor vehicles?
Yeah, so the RAV4s, which is one of the highest selling cars out there, that's a standard hybrid. So the car alternates between its electric and its combustion engine.
Mm-hmm.
The plug-in hybrids are a bit different. They have a battery which stores, and they can run purely on electric until that battery is depleted, and then they switch over. So typically, Mitsubishi, you've got a brand new plug-in hybrid coming out, which can do anywhere up to 70 kilometres in a day. Lexus have got a great range of plug-in hybrids, and a number of other manufacturers are moving down that pathway. But if we look at where the majority of our vehicles come from, they come from the Asian market where they're manufactured, and they are really focusing in on making improvements with internal combustion and looking at hybrid technology.
You mentioned carbon targets before. Is that what the government's calling emission standards, Steve?
No.
Okay, so that's something different.
Yeah, it's something different. I tend to think what they want to do is introduce taxes for people who buy a standard internal combustion engine car to try and push them across. That's what they've done in New Zealand. Now, there's an issue there because what you're doing is penalising those who need their car most for their work, let's say tradies, but also who can least afford to pay additional for their cars.
Yeah.
So it's a really complex issue. This is why we called on the government 2 weeks ago when we had a big summit of all of the leaders in industry to say, sit down with us. Let's work out a sensible solution because we don't want to price people out of transport. WA particularly, we rely on our cars to get around. And we need to make sure that transport remains affordable, but we need to also move across to a more sustainable model. In terms of emission controls.
Yeah, and at the moment, you know, that example I gave you before for the weight at the moment for the hybrids that we know of at Toyota from listeners' feedback, it's all well and good. And if you had an electric motor vehicle with a subsidy of $3,000, which the government here in Western Australia was handing out a few months ago, under $70,000. Now, as you said, there are only 30 electric motor vehicles on the market in Australia at the moment, and that's about $50,000. I think you said 89% of them were at $50,000. So they're quite pricey. Now, if you're going to then go and penalise, Steve, as you say, somebody, maybe it's a tradie who's trying to buy a dual cab ute and they have to pay an extra tax on top of that because the federal government said, get out of that diesel car or get out of that petrol sedan that you want to buy, but we don't have the stock of electric vehicles. Well, what are we doing, Steve?
Well, exactly. But we're still, go and explain to a farmer who's running all of their equipment on diesel, they're going to have to pay more for that. You know, you get this flow on down then into the food chain that everything starts to go up in price. This is why we need a well-informed discussion on how we move forward. It's interesting, but you know, transport represents about 10% of total emissions. And all the focus right now seems to be on transport. Construction's about 40%, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right. Well, it's a start. And obviously, this is a conversation that's going to ramp up over the next couple of years while Chris Bowen is the climate change minister. And Steve, I said to Joe McManus before in the preview as well, the ACT government went it alone with the diesel and petrol cars saying they want to phase out the sale of them by 2035. Surely you're looking for as well some national leadership in this. You can't have one territory going it alone and other states being either left behind or not being consulted. Surely we do need this direction from our federal government.
We need a nationally consistent approach to this whole issue. But I will say, I mean, we're very lucky in Western Australia with Premier McGowan. He's the only national leader who's actually talking about hydrogen. And we've just this week, there's been an announcement of a big investment on hydrogen recharge services and production. Really, hydrogen could be the longer term alternative for us once they work out some of the logistical challenges with it. Hydrogen cars, for instance, can be charged in 4 minutes. They've got a range of anywhere up to 1,000 kilometres. They would meet our needs perfectly. So we've got to have a balanced, nationally consistent argument. The other thing, of course, we've got to talk about is currently the government earns a lot of money out of fuel excise. Mm. What happens when we don't start paying that 44 cents a litre? We need a road user charge system that is consistent as well so that, again, we don't penalise those who can least afford it.
Steve, appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
You too. Cheers.
Stephen Moyer, Motor Trade Association WA CEO.